Welcome to the Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church podcast. This is a production of Rice Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, where Apostle Walter F. Camp is the senior pastor. This ministry is dedicated to the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, to the end that we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and faithfully walk in the maturity demonstrated by Christ as commanded in Scripture. Make sure you subscribe to get new messages on a regular basis. Enjoy the message, and please study along with us.
I'm going to start just by, I'm just going to share a little bit about what was on my heart and and talk about the things that God has done for me in my life. I'm going to start by sharing, I'll put this way. Well, me and Kenny, you know, we ride to work together every day. It's not because I don't know how to drive or, or because, we're trying to, save on gas or whatever. It's because it's a time that we have together to talk. And Kenny, he likes to have honey with him, okay? So he chooses to take me to work every morning. And it's not because I beg him to, anything like that, but that's his choice. He chooses to take me to work and everything. So on the way to work one morning, I decided that we talk about everything, you know, everything to go on and everything that happened at work and everything that, you know, a lot of people probably don't even think that's even necessary, but we talk about it because keeping that relationship open enough that, like you said, you're trying to build trust in each other. I mean, I want him to trust me just as much as he wants, you know, me to trust him. So the conversation started one morning to work, on the way to work, was that I told him about that this guy on our job give out massages. Okay? He give massages to everybody's neck. You know, we said, oh, I got a whatever here. He give us massages. So me, I didn't think nothing was wrong with it. I thought, okay, it's just a massage. You know, his sister was a trained masseuse, and so she showed him how to, you know, really work the neck. You know, and I was kind of like, okay, we'd be all stressed out, even though we do have a room up there where you can go and get in these chairs and you can get massages in the, you know, we got chairs. They got the hospital provide chairs that when you get a chance, if you want to go to de-stress yourself, you can go to these chairs and you can get these massages by these chairs. You just turn it on, it'll work whatever area of your body that you want it worked on. But I was kind of like, okay, but you know, he's standing here, he's our runner, just a little young boy, you know, I ain't thinking nothing of it. I'm kind of like, you know, it's just a little, same age my son back then. He's 25 years old. You know, I'm thinking, you know, just a young boy. You know, him giving me my massage was no big deal. So, Kenny, so that morning I brought a car. I said, Kenny, I said, what? I said, yeah, I said, we've been getting our massages at work. What? You've been getting what at work? I said, just a neck massage. I said, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I said, it'll be different. I said, now, just in case my intent was to be anything less than your wife, you know, but that was not my intent. I had a little catch in my neck right there. I was trying to get it relieved. And Kenny was kind of like, he said, if you don't see nothing wrong with that, then something is wrong with you. I said, so of course, I said, honey, I said, well, I said, but I won't let him do it. If it's that big of a mistake, he won't do it again. I said, but I didn't see nothing wrong with it, you know. So he called me when I got to work and he said, you still don't see nothing wrong with that? I said, well, I put it this way. I said that because you said that you didn't want me to do it again. I said, I won't do it again. I said, I respect you enough that if you say that you don't want me to do it, I won't do that. I said, because I want to keep peace in the house, basically. So then, but the more and more I thought about it, I said, well, you know, you look at it, I said, well, I guess it could be a problem in a way. I said, because you think about it. I said, God don't want, he wants to abstain from every appearance of evil. It's not that I was going to do anything. I said, but like Kenny was telling me, he called me back. He said, but now you don't know what going through that boy's head. You know, he get the, y'all get the grunt, talking about, ooh, that feel good right there. You know, and stuff like that, you know. He said, you don't know what's going through people's head, you know. And I said, you know, and you can't give Satan any room. Because his ultimate goal is for us to get to a point where we think, to we get to a point where we don't see anything wrong with the thing, with different little things that's going on. So that we can slowly catch ourselves slipping back, going further and further and further away from him, from God. And so, and I was just thinking, I said, you know, okay, I won't do that again, you know. But in the meantime, that night I went to sleep and had this dream. Of course, one thing about God, when something does not settle in your heart, he wants it settled. You know, he don't want us to be double-minded about anything, thinking that, okay, that he, not to think that Kenny's trying to be ruler over me or whatever, but just knowing that I knew that he had my best interest at heart. But I had to, that little bit of doubt, that little bit of just wondering, is he being too hard or something? I mean, is that nothing but a massage? I mean, I know my heart. I ain't trying to get with nobody, you know, and stuff like that. But it's just that God, he want every little bitty thing to be covered. He don't want us to get to a point where we can have anything in our lives, especially when you're a minister and you're a wife and you're a mother and you're a brother and sister in Christ too. I mean, all these different things that he want us to have ourselves so that no matter what go on, that we can be stand true to him. Our integrity. I'm going to look up that word because Walter covered that word in something. It was Proverbs 11:3. We're going to turn there because that was, that's important. He said that the integrity of the upright should guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors should destroy them. And the word that I found on one of his definitions here, let me find it. Integrity, he said, innocence, a purity of heart, freedom from deviousness, deception, or sneakiness. Integrity, the quality of possessing and steadfastly obeying, following God's instructions and rules exactly to keep his high moral principles. And that's what we all about. Amen. We want to have God's integrity. We want to be following every aspect of what God expects for his people. We don't want to get to a point where we, you know, being wishy-washy, kind of like, because people see it and people are watching us. And as much as I preach on the job about our, you know, women, about them throwing away these calendars that they've all made up, and trust me, everybody got the calendar. They got the dates written down. They got the dates about when I'm going to spend time with my husband. These women have dates, okay? They got they 2 times a week and they 3 times a week. And here I am trying to tell them about, you know, these calendars ain't necessary. You know, we need to love our, we need to have enough respect for each other and for our mates that we can, we shouldn't have a calendar set up and saying we're going to have this particular day to spend with each other. God expects for us to be free with one another. We don't need the calendars. We don't need all these things. And I said, and then here I am enjoying this massage, you know, just into this massage, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's just these little bitty things people look at and they think, okay, well, look at her. She really enjoying that massage over there. And right, and then it may, you know, it all these can affect what you're trying to do. Because God, you know, he put us in these different places to help people for the people's sake. And that's the reason that he put us, he called us. For the people's sake. He wants us to help somebody. And when we out there a little bit ourselves, you know, we catch ourselves not helping as much as we should be able to help. Okay? And that's the whole thing is that, you know, he wanted us to be. So I had this dream. I don't know if I can tell this dream out because we still have some younger ones out here. But I put it this way. The dream, I'm not going to tell y'all what the dream was, but I'll tell y'all this much. I caught myself agreeing to something that I know that it wasn't me. I'm kind of like, now, how did that, where that come from? I woke up and I was saying to myself, I said, now, if that ain't none of me, you know, I don't care what a person say to me. It's like, I'm not going to go, it's some lines that you just don't cross. You don't cross. And I was kind of like, I caught myself looking at that. And I was kind of like, now, how did I get to this point? And then it came back to that little conversation that we had. You know, Satan, he want us to, let's turn to James. We're going to turn to James. And David, he preached half of my message, but that's all right. We can do it again. Yeah. We're going to go to James 4. Okay. It says, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. I looked and I was kind of like, you know, I said, even though what happened in my dream, it wasn't that bad enough that I felt that I had, you know, crossed the line in my marriage or something like that. But is that the little bitty things, anytime that you're not fully committed to Christ, you are an adulteress. You are an adulteress. And so I was kind of like, you know, that's what I looked at myself. I said, well, you know, Lord, I said, I didn't think nothing wrong with it. But one thing about God, when you're not in the place where he wants you to be, he do everything in his power to get what you need. Okay. It may be in a dream. It may be through somebody else. And thank God he'll show it to you so that you can fix your own mess. So you won't have to go after somebody else, and somebody else can call you and say, girl, I saw you and such, 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 and whatever. But it's just that he wants you to take heed to the different things that he show you. He wants you to take charge and take control of that. And anyway, say, ye adulterer and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Because I was looking at that, I was saying, you know, me, I'm sitting there like everybody else, acting just like everybody else, you know, being just like everybody else. God don't want you just like everybody else. But he wants us to be true to him, to have that pure heart, our heart to just be just aching for him and trying to make things right with him at all times. And that was the thing. And he said, whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, I said, I don't want to be God's enemy. You know, I don't want to be God's enemy. You know, but when we catch ourselves slipping and dipping and not respecting one another, not being obedient to God, not being obedient to our husband and the things that we know that are right, you know, all of that shows us being God's enemy. You know, when we ain't doing right by him, we are his enemy. We fighting against him. And we not for him. We fighting against him. And that's what God, he wants to get to a point that we can see ourselves so that we won't be up having these battles. I mean, big battles. Just because it seemed like somebody is, because at first in the battle was when I didn't see it the way that Kenny saw it. I mean, he saw the truth, but I didn't quite see the truth. And that's when it came in, that's where that unsettledness come from. Because I'm kind of like, you know, he trying to, you know, I don't think I told him that, but I was thinking to myself, you know, he just, you know, some little things, you just can't just hop on every little thing in your life and think that it's, you know, a little old massage, the boy been trained to do it. He ain't trying to, you know, but it's just that, you know, we have to just look at it and just be sincere with our own self and realize that when you realize that the person that's with you ain't out to harm you. And that's the key, is trying to realize that he ain't out to hurt me. He got my good at heart. You know, he's not going to hurt me. So when I look at that and see that he's not out to hurt me, harm me, that's when I should give into it and realize, okay, well, maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe there's something the way I'm looking at. Must be something wrong with it, you know? And say, do you think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusted to envy? It's a desire to the point of jealousy. We're looking at, you know, God is kind of like, you know, he wants all of us. He don't want us to be to a point where, you know, but we got to get to a point where we can feel the same way about him as he do about us. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, I skipped one. But he give it more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but give it grace unto the humble. But it's just that we get to a point where we have to lay all pride aside, lay it all aside. I know Walton broke that word down so many ways. I mean, presumption and all these different ways. I mean, proud, presumption, prerogative, whatever, all these different words. It's just laying it all aside and realizing that, you know, if we can lay that aside, he can put us in the place where he wants us to be and let the person realize that, you know, it's all good. We all on the same team. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that's the point that we have to get to. The times when we do see things that are wrong, just resisting those things that Satan's going to bring. And it may have been the massage for me, but I'm sure it's things in your life that ain't quite like it should be. Some people get off into pornography. People get off into a whole lot of other things. Adultery, fornication, just all different kind of things people get off into. But knowing that anytime that you give into that, you catch yourself getting further and further away from God. And he wants us to be... He wants us to stay committed to him. And we have to get to a point where we have to resist the things that the devil bring to us. You know, looking at different stuff, you know, different movies and stuff and different every little thing that can really distract us and not pull us closer to God. Those things are pushing us away from God. And we got to get to a point where we can get back into that place where we need to be at. He said, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And that double-minded, that, look up that word, because that was another one of those things that I caught myself at. It talks about being two-spirited, to be indecisive, or irrelucid, not settled, not resolved, decided to fix, to sway from side to side in opinion or purpose. You know, and just getting to a point where that's the reason he brought that dream, because, you know, it wasn't no settling there in my spirit. And he wants our spirits to be settled. He wants to be settled. And I, you know, and everything. And let's see. Then as I looked at all of that and thought within myself, and so I told Kenny about the dream. Kenny said, see, that's what he's trying to tell you. What I'm trying to tell you. All the time. But thank God for honey. You know, I mean, he look out for me. Even when the time when I don't want him to look out for me sometimes. I feel like I'm a big girl now. I can handle some things on my own. But it's good that when you got a mate that look out for you. You know, making sure the time when you think you about going straight and narrow, that, you know, when they can see it and they can say, okay. But then the good thing about it is just not getting in pride, not getting all worked up and thinking that, you know, you out to harm me or you trying to hurt me because you tell me whatever. And the scripture, let me turn to another scripture. I want to go to Titus. Let's look at Titus, if I can find it. Titus 2. I'm starting down at verse 1, because what brought me to this was, I mean, even without me even knowing exactly what was, you know, everything that was going on, but I had enough sense to know that, you know, to be obedient to my husband and things that I know that he, the things that he can see, trusting his ministry enough, you know? And it said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, but not false accuser, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And that's what God, I mean, he wants us to become, you know, women, you know, that's holy, that's honest with ourselves, you know, mature women, that we can get to a point where we can teach somebody else something. But if we out there just like everybody else, nobody want to hear what you got to say. It kind of like, you know, you're doing exactly what I'm doing. So what? How can you tell me anything? And it said that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And that's the thing, is that when you love somebody, I mean, we got to get to a point where we can say that we truly love our mates, okay? It's not because of what they can do for us. It's not because they give a hell, let us have our way. But it's because of the things that when, it's not just them, like you said, because of they let us have our way, but when they can correct us and we can receive the correction with joy in our hearts, knowing that, okay, he must really love me. Because if not, he would have let me went on out there and been like everybody else, you know? And that's what we have to get to thinking. Say, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. It's not that we want them to be, per se, lords over us, but just that when we can, when we sense the things that are right, we receive that. Amen. And we go on with that, you know? Not just because it's him all the time want to tell me what to do. You know, you go with it because of the fact that, because of that place that God has placed us in. They placed him as the head of the house, and he placed the wife to be under him, to us to be in submission to our own husbands. So we have to find our place, and we have to stay in that place. And sometimes, like you said, it's hard to stay in that place sometimes. But that's when we work at. That's when the different scriptures come up. When God has to show us dreams, he has to show us whatever he has to do to get our attention to say that, okay, now you're out of your place. Now it's time for you to get back in your place. And receiving that word and going on with it. You know? Now, David gave another scripture I'm going to go to. Maybe you just helped me out so much that I couldn't even find it this morning. But you took me straight to it. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go down to Proverbs 31. And I'm not going to keep y'all long. Okay? It say that Proverbs 31, verse 11 and 12. And Pastor covered those two, didn't he? It said, the heart of a husband doeth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And that's the point where we're trying to get to, is knowing that we're going to do each other good and we ain't going to do each other evil. Our hearts, our husbands is going to be so full of joy and peace in his own heart, knowing that we out to do him good, no harm. And the reason, and what took me to that was I was reading a little bit on Samson. Okay, let's go to Samson. Now, Samson, he had a pretty raw deal there. Samson, I'm going to kind of paraphrase this a little bit, but we're going to go there. I'm going to look through some of it, but we're going to skip around a little bit. It said, we'll start at chapter 14. We'll talk about Samson. I'm sorry, Judges 14. Did I not tell y'all? Y'all should be able to read my mind, okay? It say, verse 1, and Samson went down to Tinnath and saw a woman in Tinnath, the daughters of the Philistine. He came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Tinnath of the daughters of the Philistine. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. And his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines. And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Okay. Now, Samson wasn't thinking about nothing about looking for nobody that was going to be out for his good. He saw what he saw. He saw something that pleased his eyes. Okay. That was pleasant to him. I'm sure she probably was beautiful. But that's what he wanted. He wanted this woman. And he had, okay, that was just his first one. Now, he had two wives. He had this first one here that basically, she didn't have his good at heart. I mean, he couldn't feel safe with her. But you know, he had to find that out, though. And it went on to say that, let me see. So Samson in verse 12, he said, and Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 chains of garment. Okay. But if you cannot declare it, he told them what he do. And he said, he said unto them, verse 14, out of the eaters came forth meat and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. Okay. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband. Now what? It couldn't nobody come to me and tell me to entice my husband to do something. Because one thing, he gonna basically know where I'm coming from anyway. You see what I'm saying? He would have been kind of like, okay, now what you trying to, how you trying to trick me? What kind of woman are you? You know? Entice thy husband that they may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou doest but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while his feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her because she lied sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. Okay, now you can tell right then that she, you know, she wasn't like this woman in Proverbs. She wasn't like she didn't have his best interest at heart. She was trying to get a little bit of a relief for her own self, basically, because she was thinking about, hey, them people, they're going to do something. They're going to harm me. But you know something? That's where that open communication come in. You know, if you talk to your mate and you tell them when people come up with mess to you or whatever that's about your husband, I want you to do something that's contrary to what you know is right. That's when you talk to one another and you bring that stuff up and you say, well, such and such said to sin, he want me to do this and whatever. You know, let him go deal with that, you know? Yeah. It shouldn't even been on her to even been to that point where she should have, but it comes from where you having that covenant with God and realizing what's right and what's wrong. But she was at that point where she was kind of like, okay, you know, she was just trying to get some relief for her own self. And the same thing happened with his second wife. We all know about Delilah. I mean, she was the same way. This woman, you know, it was the same thing. But the example that I was trying to say is that, you know, she wasn't like this woman in Proverbs. She wasn't like, you know, trying to look out the best interest of her man and trying to make sure that he was taken care of and everything was right for him and good for him, and he was in a safe, he can feel like he's safe with her. But her thing was, I mean, her husband he couldn't even feel, I mean, he probably thought he could feel safe with her, but it was no safety there, and she was out to do him evil, not good. But I guess in the whole thing is just learning that when God show us stuff, that he want us help. He wants us to help one another. And that's why when I share it, I was really want to tell y'all all my little secrets and stuff. But, you know, it's just to help somebody else out. Because I'm sure that you'll come up with that same thing. You can say, well, I remember her kind of mentioned something about that. Right. Having men touching all over you. And, you know, even though your heart may be pure and right about it, but, you know, you don't know what's going through that person's mind. I don't know. And then the more and more I thought of it, and then when I thought about it, I said, well, this little boy, he's part of a DMX video. He's in there. He brought it to work and showed us all us. You know what I'm kind of like? And here I am letting the rough rider.
Take care of my knots.
But I didn't think none of it. I thought it was just a little boy. You know, you don't know none of it. It's like I didn't think none of it. You know, just one of the little, our little runner. He do all our running on the job. You know what I'm saying? I didn't think none of it. And I'm just going to end it right there. It just listen to what God is saying. What he's saying to you, you know, just don't take it all for granted. Don't ignore it. But just take everything that he's saying, apply it to your life so we can all grow up. Can all stop getting tossed to and fro, because that's exactly what we're doing. I mean, we're being tossed here and there. Every time somebody come up, you know, with another saying about Jesus, you know how they got this new whatever you call it, Da Vinci Code or whatever like that, and people, you know, giving into that. But you know, if we continue to just receive everything that we hear, we'll catch ourselves at that point in which we will think that what they're saying is true, because we'll catch ourselves getting further and further away from God. And we'll think, okay, well, maybe there is some truth to that. Maybe he did have a girlfriend. Maybe Mary Magdalene was his woman. Maybe they did have a child. Maybe, you know, just crazy stuff. But that's because we haven't spent the time, we hadn't been loving on Jesus, loving on God the way we should.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us today. Worship at Rice Memorial begins with Sunday School at 9:30 a.m., followed by praise and worship at 10:45, and on Wednesday nights we have Bible study from 7 to 8. Children's Church is also available, where they can receive the Word of God on their level. Once again, don't forget to subscribe to get new messages on a regular basis. You can also like us on Facebook and visit our webpage at ricememorialbaptistchurch.org. And until next time, continue to walk in the footsteps of Christ and love as He commanded.